This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. I am Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We have Chris Meaney join the program here in a little bit on this hour to break down all-important game number four tonight in the Stanley Cup Final. And Brian Dunseth is going to join the program as well. 9 years a pro soccer player, now turned broadcaster. He's been covering Team USA leading up to this World Cup, knows them inside and out, and their opponents. So we'll get a thought from Brian on what we might expect from Team USA. They're on the pitch starting on Friday. But Jensen, we love chaos in the sports world. We need it in our lives. It's time right now for this week's edition of our Chaos Candidates. I've won the ball, the coin toss. I've elected to receive the ball here. I will start off my chaos candidate tonight with a guy that I don't even know if he's going to play. Frederik Andersen, I'm looking right at you, kid. Okay, well, you've drifted. Remember, you're about plus 220 before this series started to win the Conn Smythe. That's if, of course, Carolina was going to win the cup. Well, they're down 2-1 in large part because you've not played well. Let's call a spade a spade. You might get benched tonight. You might not be the starting goaltender here in game four. But if, by chance, Rob Brind'Amour pulls you aside and says, "Hey, Freddie, you're my guy. I need you to go in there and be the Frederik Andersen that I know you to be." Okay, forget about what everybody else has said. Forget about anything that's happened so far. What's past is prologue. Now it's about today, and it's about the rest of this run to try to win Ward Stanley's Cup. And I need you, Freddie. I need you. Do I need you at 65-1 to win the Conn Smythe? Maybe. That would be a nice ticket to cash if you wanted to hop in here. But if Rob Brind'Amour taps you on the shoulder and gives you the call and gives you another chance to prove that you're not only the guy for this team this year, but also the future for you in Carolina, it could be very telling what happens for the rest of this Stanley Cup Final. Because if they decide to make a goalie change, Frederik, that shows you the confidence is no longer there. And then, if I can't use you in that capacity, what's your value? Where's your worth to the organization going forward? So, Frederik Andersen, if, and I do believe you will get another chance in this series to show that you're still the Frederik Andersen that can get this done, that kind of put some of those demons to pass earlier in the Stanley Cup playoff, you do have the record right now for the most shutouts in Carolina Hurricanes history. In the postseason, in one Stanley Cup run, you own that record, Freddie. I need you to be that guy. And if Rob Brind'Amour gives you the chance, prove it and be an agent of chaos and of change for the Carolina Hurricanes.
All right. The World Cup gets underway on Thursday, but already seeing a team that might find a way to upset the apple cart. That is Norway. Ooh. And Dave, if you haven't been keeping track, and I have, Norway went 8-0-0 in the UEFA Group I with Italy, Israel, Moldova, and Estonia, outscoring their opponents 37-5. They have one of the great players and one of the most notable in Premier League soccer in Erling Haaland. He is getting to the World Cup for the first time, and Norway actually appearing for the first time since 1998. Martin Ødegaard, their captain, elite vision, great passing and leadership. Alexander Sørloth, a big mobile target who stretches defenses. And Dave, I'm not interested in the 1-0, 2-1 low-scoring games.
Oh,
get ready for a fast-paced attack. Get ready for wide-open runs and for the counterattack that if Norway is right, and here's kind of their group stage, and I think it really plays well for them, not only to qualify, but maybe that final game, and they'll play June 16th against Iraq at Gillette Stadium, Foxborough, June 22nd against Senegal at MetLife Stadium, and then back to Gillette for what will probably be one of the great individual matchups of the group stage against France. That, of course, Kylian Mbappe, one of the top men for France. France should be the favorite, I think, to win the group, but I think Norway, a real opportunity, not only to make an upset in the group, potentially winning it, but certainly a chance with their draw in the round of 32 getting to the round of 16. I think they are right there as a team that might fly under the radar for some, but I love where their opportunities to not only make the knockout round, but maybe win a match or two. Norway, my chaos candidate for this year's World Cup.
My favorite thing right now on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, is the Europeans coming over to the United States for the first time and learning about our cuisine, whether it's in Chicago, whether it's down in the Deep South, whether it's the Germans going to the Waffle House. It's been spectacular to watch here and the appreciation for the United States. That being said, my second chaos candidate takes us back to the White House, speaking of America, on Sunday for Freedom 250. And I'm going to break down this fight a little bit later on in totality. But when you see the main event, and normally you don't get this in a main event, as high profile as this fight's card is going to be, and maybe the most high profile one they'll have all year. And it's not Alex Pereira that's on the main event here as he goes for a three-belt champion against Ciryl Gane. It's Justin Gaethje. It's the American in the White House Sunday, right there in our nation's capital, going up against the Spaniard, Ilia Topuria. And now it's gotten personal, Jensen. It's gotten chaotic. And it makes Justin Gaethje the perfect chaos candidate. Now, Gaethje had said some things, basically saying that, Ilia, I can understand why nobody could stand being in the same room as Ilia Topuria. And that was, Topuria took that as a shot of his personal life. Now that he is divorced from his wife, Gaethje didn't actually mention his wife, but that's neither here nor there. That's the way it was interpreted. And then Topuria put out a video and said, basically, I thought you were a good guy. You're not a good guy. And now I'm going to end you. It's going to be dicey in there, Justin. You are not just an underdog. You are a massive underdog come Sunday. And right now I'm seeing you get Justin Gaethje around 4-1 in the betting market, plus $4, plus $380 out there. And how about this, though? To win by KO, if you're Justin Gaethje, it's 6-1. That tells me there is the puncher's chance for a guy like Justin Gaethje. They call him the highlight for a reason. I'll get into the specifics of this later on in the week. That total for a 5-round main event is sitting at 1.5. 7.5 minutes, people. That is telling you that the betting market thinks this will not go very far and very long. I might beg to differ. Justin Gaethje, I know how tough you are. America knows how tough you are. It's time to show the Spaniard how tough you are and stand up to the bully that you say he is in Ilia Topuria. The main event Sunday night, it might be chaotic, and Justin Gaethje could be the actual agent of change and chaos in the main event at the White House.
Dave, Country Roads, Take Me Home swept the nation on Monday night as the West Virginia Mountaineers walked off the Kentucky Wildcats to secure their spot into the Super Regional round hosted right there in Morgantown. It's not just a unifying song. It is a way of life for these people. Mm. Old John Denver looking down from on high probably cracked a smile watching an entire state feel like they were unified by 35 kids who have made a dream come true. For the first time in West Virginia history, the Mountaineers have punched their ticket to the College World Series. It was Randy Mazey who took over the program and had a vision of not only building a ballpark worthy of the ball club, but had an understudy in Steve Sabins who took over after his final season for Randy Mazey in 2024. They lost in the Super Regional round in Chapel Hill to North Carolina. In Steve Sabins' first year as head coach last year, they fell in the Super Regionals to eventual national champion LSU. This year feels different. A host for the first time in Morgantown as the number 16 national seed. A flair for the dramatic down to their final three outs on Sunday. Their season saved by a 5-run outburst in the ninth inning, encapsulated by a moment that will go down in Mountaineer lore as Paul Schoenfeld hit a go-ahead game-winning 2-run homer to force Game 7 on Monday night. And then Armani Guzman, who walked off or had actually had the go-ahead game-winning RBI single in the Clemson Regional that also defeated Kentucky, part of a 6-run comeback in 2025, ends up having the flair for the dramatic by getting the 10th inning walk-off RBI single to send West Virginia to the Supers. There wasn't much competition against Cal Poly this past weekend, Dave. They were blowouts in both games. But it feels like West Virginia is a team of destiny. You say the Dallas Cowboys are America's team. I counter that in this moment, West Virginia and the country roads have taken them to middle America. It just might lead them to the promised land as the chaos candidate of this year's College World Series.
Love it. And just point of order, it's not me that says that the Cowboys are America's team. America says the Cowboys are America's team. Let me ask you this, because you've seen this team now up close and personal, West Virginia, what, about plus 750 here to win in Omaha. And we love the story, right? We talk about this in UFC context, and we love the Alex Pereira story, but we don't want to bet on the story. We want to bet on what we actually think is realistic. Are they good enough, Jensen? Because it's a great story, and I'm going to be rooting for them, and I'd love to play them as well. But are they actually good enough in your eyes to win at Omaha?
Yes, Dave, this is the team that had the lowest ERA as far as a pitching staff in the Big 12 this year, ninth nationally. Their hitting has been absolutely ridiculous here the last couple of weeks. And when you catch that crescendo and it feels like everything is hitting on all cylinders, there's no better time. The bracket, I think, breaks right for them, not only from a pitching staff standpoint, but their opponent standpoint. They will not have to face the beast of the SEC on the other side of it until the College World Series finals. So I think they are primed and ready. First game of the day, what a scene you're going to see of the gold and blue descending upon Charles Schwab Field there in Omaha on Friday afternoon.
Sold. I think I'll be buying a futures ticket here later on today on West Virginia. Let's go Mountaineers. When we come back, let's catch up with Chris Meade. He does a great job breaking down the NHL, and we have potentially a goalie change here tonight in Game 4. We'll get Chris's thoughts next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge, but what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Tuesday morning. Going to have Brian Dunseth on the program a little bit later on to talk all things World Cup. But right now, taking center stage, it is Game 4 in the Stanley Cup Final tonight back in Las Vegas, T-Mobile Arena. It should be another raucous environment after the craziness we saw in Game 3. Chris Meade has been kind enough to join us throughout the entirety of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Writer, editor at NHL.com, joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X at Chris Meade. Boy, Chris, we almost have to exhale after the ending in Game 4, or Game 3, rather. I thought it was kind of a shame the way that it ended, you know, with kind of fluky, throw it off from the blue line, just chuck it in there, and it goes off the back of the skate. But it was so chaotic to get to overtime. What is your takeaway? Obviously, VGK up 2-1. That's the overlying thought here. But what about Carolina's comeback? Can you take anything from that, even in defeat?
Absolutely. You know, there were points in that game where it looked like, to me anyways, watching that Carolina had given up. I didn't see a whole lot of energy from them. But, you know, it was Bussy who came in and kind of kept Carolina in that game. You know, Marner had the natural hat trick, the quickest natural hat trick in Stanley Cup Final history of all time. 6 minutes and 10 seconds is just remarkable to see. Then he has the penalty shot and it looks like, yeah, maybe this doesn't really matter. You score it, it's 5-0. You don't, it's still 4-0. But I think the Hurricane can certainly take a lot away from that game, that they're just never out of it, right? They haven't gotten the goaltending in this Stanley Cup final, but, you know, the four goals, you know, three of them in 39 seconds is just remarkable to think about. And it was four different goal scorers. And you're right. So sometimes it's just the way it is, right? Fireworks all game. You get 9 goals. You get, you know, up and down offense galore. And then, you know, sometimes in overtime, that's usually how it happens. It's a lucky break and whatnot. Credit to Shea Theodore. I think he shot that puck wide on purpose on the backboards. But nonetheless, I do think that the Hurricanes can take something away from this, but they are going to need better goaltending and they're going to need to steal one here on the road.
All right, Chris, I know there are people out there that think this is a candidate for the greatest Stanley Cup final ever. I respectfully will push back. And I think there are criteria that must occur or be satisfied for that to be the case. A, it has to go seven games. There's no way this can be the best Stanley Cup final without a decisive game seven that would take place there in Raleigh. I would give you two candidates. First, the 94 Stanley Cup with the Rangers and the Canucks. Mark Messier, Mike Richter there at Madison Square Garden was amazing. The 2011 Boston Bruins, Vancouver Canucks Stanley Cup final, maybe the best ever. Those are the two that readily come to mind. The reason I bring this up, with where we are entering tonight, do we have a chance for this to go seven, knowing that we have had that teeter-totter back and forth, and it's sometimes been a roller coaster ride as well?
Yeah, I think there's a really good opportunity. I'll never forget 94 and MSG and, yes. and the way I think game one against the Canucks, and I think it was Kirk McLean just kind of stood on his head and stole that one, but it was a phenomenal Stanley Cup final. But yeah, this one is set up, right? I mean, 9 goals in game one, 7 in game two, 9 in game three, a couple overtimes, and a lot of people are talking about low event hockey, maybe myself included, but each game decided by one goal, and the 25 goals through the first three games, it's the most since 1981, when you look at the Islanders and Minnesota's 30 goals or something in that Stanley Cup final. So pretty remarkable to see all the offense here. And, you know, when you look at just, again, history, Stanley Cup finals to start with 4 straight one goal games. I mean, 2015, you got the Blackhawks and the Lightning 5 straight, the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens in 1951, and then 1968, the Blues and the Canadiens. So we're looking at something pretty historic here, what's happened through three games. This is a series I thought would go six. I liked Vegas in six, but you know, I just the way that we've kind of seen this thing play out, I wouldn't be shocked if it went seven. If I could change, I would say, hey, this one's going seven. And I think as hockey fans, we all want this one to go seven. So yeah, there's offense up and down, and we've pretty much seen everything. And you know, if we do get 7-4 more games, Jensen, I think we're in for a treat.
Still kind of amazing to think that, you know, we haven't seen Canada hoist a Lord Stanley's Cup since Montreal back in 93, that 94 series. I still feel bad for the Russian Rocket and Pavel Bure there with the Canucks. Everybody always talks about the Rangers. I feel bad for the losers in that one. I don't know if I feel bad for Frederik Andersen, but it has not gone well for Freddie Andersen here so far in the Stanley Cup final. And now I wonder if they turn it over to the bus boy here tonight. And I'm seeing that Brandon Bussey is plus 120 to 1. To win the Conn Smythe for a guy that's barely played so far in the playoffs at all. What do you think Rob Brind'Amour does tonight? And is there any chance that Andersen can kind of flip the script and get not only back in the Conn Smythe conversation, but get his team back to even footing here at two games apiece?
Kind of surprised to see the odds, see him drop down the odds boards like that. I know he hasn't been all that great here in the Stanley Cup final. In fact, his last 8 games, he's got an .856 save percentage. That's including the 5 games that they took care of the Canadians where he did have a shutout. He just wasn't remarkable in that series. And the Hurricanes don't give up a whole lot of shots. When they do seem to be from high danger areas. So it's tough to really kind of fault him. You see Mitch Marner there as the favorite at -210. I think that if Carolina does win this, I look at a guy like Taylor Hall again. I look at him tonight. You know, he's had 3+ shots in every road game but one. He's plus 245 for 3 shots tonight. He's plus money for a point. He's been their best player in this Stanley Cup final. I know Jordan Staal has got a goal in all 3 games, which is a pretty cool story in its own because he's an older player here in the Stanley Cup final, the oldest in the final. But Hall has been consistent. He does lead the Stanley Cup final in shot attempts, and he leads the Hurricanes in shots as well. Actually tied there with Jordan Staal at 5-5. But it's a really tough call. Clearly, I'm glad I don't have Rod Brendamore's job here tonight. You know, Bussey comes in and stops 18 of 19. He has that penalty shot that I mentioned. He stopped all 4 high danger shots that he faced. He had a breakout campaign this year. Remember, he was 31-6-2. This guy had a really good season in 39 games, right? Kind of out of nowhere. And you look at Freddie Andersen, he's 36 years old. He didn't play a whole lot of hockey this year. When he did, it wasn't consistent. And you wonder if, you know, fatigue is catching up to him. But I think, you know, him getting pulled an extra day off day in this Stanley Cup final, I do believe that Rod Brind'Amour will go back to him. But yeah, it high danger shots faced 18. He's allowed 6 goals. It's a .667 save percentage in high danger areas. It's not ideal for him and the Hurricanes.
Chris, are there some props that popped to you tonight, considering we have had nothing but goals? And I told Dave, and I'll ask you the same thing. I have not seen any evidence to see a lower scoring affair. With that in mind, anything that could really pop, if you wanted to kind of differentiate yourself and not have to worry about the scoring, goal props maybe, you know, for individual guys or points all around that really stick out to you?
Well, I mentioned Taylor Hall and the plus money. I think that's something that certainly you could ride out. We've had him in our picks article, I think like 6 or 7 straight games. Just like there's something there. Even when Rod Brendamore was switching the lines, he played Hall with all three of their top centers. So Hall's just kind of been their constant. And I do expect him to play with Jackson Blake and with Logan Stankoven. And so those guys are plus money. You know, I take a look at them all for 2 shots, but I do like Taylor Hall for the 3 shots there. Kind of a boring couple props here for you. 2 block shot props. Jalen Chapman. Hatfield, and this guy's logging a lot of ice time. He leads the Stanley Cup final with 10 blocks. And, you know, you go back and look at his last 8 games, he's had at least 2 blocks in 8 straight games. I think he's minus 130 for 2 blocks tonight. He's had at least 3 in each of the 3 games in the Stanley Cup final. So I take a look at him, 4 block shots. And also Jordan Staal, you know, again, he's got the goals in 3 straight games. He does lead the team in 5-5 ice time over the last 6 or 7 games. So he's logging a lot of ice time, and he's around plus 150 for a point. On the other side, I don't know how you can ignore that second line, right? Mitch Marner is, you know, his odds are significant, but you look at his line mates and William Karlsson and Brett Howden, both of those guys are plus money for a point. So I take a look at each of the second lines on these 2 teams. They've both been, you know, consistent all Stanley Cup final and playoffs, really.
Chris, let's stay on that theme there with Mitch Marner, because he is 205, 210, depending on your book here, to win the Conn Smythe. Now, VGK to win the Stanley Cup is about $1.85. So it's about 20 cents extra on the Marner side. The reason why I ask about that 20 cents difference is we saw Connor McDavid when he won the Conn Smythe, obviously, even though the Oilers did not win the Stanley Cup. Is that, I don't want to say a safe bet on Marner, but could you see a scenario where Carolina in 7, it's nondescript offensively, and you still give it to Marner despite they come up short? Is there a double chance to get Mitch Marner home?
It certainly seems that way, doesn't it? I mean, he's got the 8-point cushion. He's got 2 hat tricks here in the playoffs. He leads all guys in the primary assists and the shorthanded points and the 4-point games. He's just had such a remarkable final. And, you know, there's a couple more games here. So if this does go 7, he creeps up into the low 30s in terms of points, maybe a 10-point cushion on guys. I do believe that when you look at the other side, again, Freddie Anderson dropping down, if he stays in this series, he would need 2 shutouts, maybe 1 in game 7 to kind of get himself back into the conversation. On the other side, you know, again, it's Taylor Hall, but he's got, you know, 17 points. So it's not like what he's doing with Mitch Marner. So I do believe this is his award to lose, whether Vegas wins it or not. I know we've only seen it a couple of times, most recently, as you alluded to, with McDavid. So it's pretty impressive what Marner's doing.
Chris, it's been great expertise throughout the entirety of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Hopefully we have more to talk about. We'll figure it out how long this series might go, game 4 tonight, back there in Las Vegas. Give him a follow on X at Chris Meany. Check him out at NHL.com. We're back with our best bets, and later on talking World Cup with Brian Dunsett right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Championship season is upon us. VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter. For a limited time, lock in our early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. You're going to get full access to everything we do across every single sport through the Super Bowl. That, of course, is in next February. That means the continuing coverage of the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup begins on Thursday, plus Major League Baseball all summer long. Plus, you're going to get our daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, in just a couple weeks, we're going to release our NFL betting guide to attack those futures, win totals, divisional races, and full season ahead. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You and I will be doing yeoman's work on that for our projections as well as everybody here at VSiN, all the hosts. Cannot wait for that football betting guide to come out in just a couple weeks. Great conversation we just had with Chris Meany. Again, please like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books. Check those out on your time. I'm going to talk some World Cup coming up here with Brian Dunseth, who knows Team USA inside and out, and the opponents coming up in the next segment. But before we get to our actual best bets, it feels like all the great Joes are leaving Cleveland. There's Joe Thomas, of course, who's in the Hall of Fame now, famed left tackle for the Browns. And now you've got Joel Batonio, who is retiring from the NFL after 12 seasons in Cleveland. And Batonio, one of the best to ever do it at guard, 7-time Pro Bowler and 5-time All-Pro. And I think for people in the know, that All-Pro actually has much more meaning than the 7-time Pro Bowler sometimes, Jensen. Do we think that Joel will follow Joe into Canton?
We'll see. Not a surprise here. Kind of a non-factor as far as what this roster will look like. Again, kind of one of those changes, too, where we'll see a difference not only at the line, but also seeing what, you know, Todd Monken's going to bring in here. What will be the difference now for this attack? Very interested also to see what will happen in not only the first couple of divisional games, but, you know, this has been a team that if it is Deshaun Watson, and we feel that it might be, then he's going to have his work cut out for him for sure. A couple of best bets for me here. If you're just joining us, mention the Braves minus $1.40 at the White Sox. Braves as a road favorite, which they are tonight. One of the best marks in all of baseball, 19-8, good for almost a 71% win percentage. Do like the matchup for them as they will get the series underway from the South side. Marlins minus $1.19 at home against the Diamondbacks. Also looking at them as home favorites. They've been one of the best teams in all of baseball. Second in the National League, Dave, 14-6 at home as a home favorite. So we like them tonight. And then we're going to go for a home underdog. How about the Baltimore Orioles? One of the best teams, actually the best team in the American League as far as a win percentage and ROI as a home underdog. 10-5 in that regard when they are a home underdog, which they will be to Logan Gilbert and the Seattle Mariners tonight. So we'll take them plus $1.12 on the money line. Two totals for you, and I'm in all likelihood playing the Brewers and Athletics there from Las Vegas over. I don't think that total can go high enough the rest of the way. But we're going to do Cubs and Rockies over 11.5. Cubs and Rockies. Cubs are 18-12-1 to the over as a road team. And you don't have to twist my arm when we go to the Mile High City. It is an alternate over. 12.5 is the posted total. But I did take an alternate over 11.5 at minus $1.35. And then we'll go out west to the Bay Area. Nationals, one of the best over teams in all of baseball. They will take on the Giants again tonight. Big win as a dog last night. Let's take an over 8 at minus $1.17. Washington now 19-14-1 to the over as a road underdog, which they will be tonight. So those are the five plays so far for me. Best bets there for Major League Baseball so far tonight.
If I'm Deshaun Watson or anybody in that Cleveland quarterback room, I might go to Batonio and say, you sure you can't one more year? You can't go one more? Just protect me. We need some help there. But the guard position is going to be interesting in Cleveland with no Joel Batonio. I don't have any plays yet officially on game four tonight in the Stanley Cup. I know you're leaning towards the over once again. I thought it was a great conversation with Chris Meany. And I think he sees it the way I see it, that I know the bussy and the skate around, and you did see him in the crease there a little bit. And Rob Brindamore made a point to say after practice, do not take that for gospel, what you might see out there. So those reports coming out as to whether who the starting goaltender is. I do think if it's Freddie Anderson, and I do believe, like Chris does, that they're going to go back to Frederick Anderson. That's just my belief. And I kind of equate it to a closer's role in Major League Baseball, and you would know better than most, Jensen, that once you take him out and you switch that role, I don't know that it's hard to go back, right? If it doesn't work out with the new guy, if it is Brandon Bussy here tonight, between the pipes here for Carolina, I would suspect that it's Anderson. And if it is, I know he's drifted down there to 65-1 in some places for the Conn Smythe. It would take, I only think it would take one, dare I say two, vintage Anderson performances. What does that look like? Maybe giving up one goal, maybe getting a 2-1 win, even a 3-2 win. And all of a sudden, I think Anderson could be right back in the mix if his team is back in the mix to win the Conn Smythe because of the body of work that he did throughout the entirety of the postseason. It's been really bad so far here in the Stanley Cup final. We're not sugarcoating that. But if he's given the opportunity, I think there's value in that number at 65-1 if you have nothing already in pocket here. On the other side, Jensen, I do think Mitch Marner is in play to win regardless if VGK wins the cup or not. Obviously, if they win the cup, Mitch Marner is going to win the Conn Smythe. There's no other scenario that presents itself. I mean, Brett Howden's the next choice here for VGK at 80-1. So again, not normally in the business of weighing 205, 210 on the Conn Smythe, but I do think it's a real double chance here if you want to back Mitch Marner for Conn Smythe. And VGK, by the way, is a small dog tonight. $3 for the home team. $9 to Carolina is what we're seeing here, the pricing so far. I wonder if that'll change as we get closer to puck drop, but that total sitting at 6, and I don't think that's a deterrent for you.
It's one-way traffic right now. 97% of bets, 97% of money on the over 6. If you can find 5.5s, they are still out there. FanDuel, DraftKings, Fanatics all have them. Bet Rivers also. Everyone else pretty much at 6. So, again, no evidence to the contrary for me that we're going to get a lower scoring game. That's what it would be for me tonight. Hey, speaking of the World Cup, if you're just joining us, Norway was my chaos candidate so far. And I was looking at some of the futures there for the World Cup. We'll talk with Brian Dunstan coming up here in just a matter of minutes. I looked at Norway to reach the final 16. Minus $1.25, I think is a really an exceptional play there. They will be in France's Group I, and that future, I think, is right there. Erling Haaland, again, for those of you that watch a lot of Premier League soccer, is arguably the best player there for Manchester City. I actually think that that final match, and I'm glad that it is the last one in group play, because it'll be a great head-to-head between France's Kylian Mbappe and Haaland there with Norway. I may look at playing that, Dave. I'm going to get Brian's thoughts on where he sees maybe his quote unquote dark horses from certain groups. But there are some boosts out there, Dave. Right now at DraftKings, you are getting no sweat bets available for futures. So again, if you want to take a shot on maybe, you know, some teams that are not the favorites in Spain and France and some of the usual suspects, great opportunity, as I'm sure many of these sports books will get very creative on some of those bonuses and some of those boosts that they will offer.
I was fortunate to take advantage of one of those boosts yesterday. I got a 50% profit boost at Bet365. Was able to cash a big ticket, 25-1 on a same game parlay last night in game number 3, that did go over the total for the first time. That total is sitting at 216.5 for game 4 tomorrow night. The Knicks are 2.5-point favorites here, plus money on the Spurs and the comeback, plus $1.05. And I think we had a great conversation with Matt Humans in hour number 1. Again, please like, subscribe. You can take a listen to that conversation. He likes the Knicks in a bounce back spot in game 4 tomorrow night. And I think you kind of see it the same way. $1.25 is the money line price right now in the Knicks.
I do. I'll probably stay away from totals now the rest of the way. I did play an under last night. Thought we might sneak it home after no one could score there for a while. Boy. In the fourth quarter. Just kind of feels like the jitters were there in quarter number 1, Dave. The turnovers, again, at San Antonio, 21-7, outscoring the Knicks points off of turnovers. That was a huge part, notwithstanding 24 of their 32 free throw attempts did come in the fourth quarter. Sorry, Mike Brown. But that was one of those spots where it kind of could tell that's why I asked Zach Cohen yesterday. Felt like a first quarter spread for San Antonio yesterday was kind of the move, and they made that stand up, never a doubt. But I'm with you. Bounce back for me tomorrow night. I think the Knicks get there. Selfishly, we are rooting for them with our futures in pocket.
Yes.
So let's see the bounce back tomorrow and hope the Knickerbockers take a 3-1 series lead.
You know, it was 92-91 after 3 last night at the Garden. And the last leg of my 25-1 ticket to cash was the over. And I'm like, oh, I don't have to sweat this out at all. That became the sweat, Jensen.
Yes.
At the end, as almost no scoring was happening late in that game. Thankfully, it did get home. We'll find out what's going to happen tomorrow night. All right, when we come back, it's going to be a real pleasure to have Brian Dunseth on the program. 9 years a pro playing soccer and now breaking down Team USA, covering them, and also knows the opponents inside and out. We'll break that down, talking some World Cup next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
reminder, Circus 2026 football contests are open for business. You don't have to live in Vegas to play. After your required in-person registration, Winner's Circle Proxy is going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere in the United States. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Jensen, you know I made the pilgrimage out there this past weekend. You and I are signed up for millions. We are in it to win it. A real pleasure to talk all things World Cup. Going to be getting on the pitch here starting on Thursday. Brian Dunseth, 9-year pro and now soccer analyst for Apple TV, TNT Sports, host on Sirius XM FC and Week in the Tackle podcast. Kind enough to join us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Brian, that's a lot of labels, my friend, for a player turned broadcaster, even watching Team USA as they get ready here. What are you noticing now, Brian, as a former player and now as a broadcaster with Team USA? Could they be a little bit different and hopefully be a positive surprise in this version of the World Cup?
Yeah, listen, I've been around this team for the better part of the last 3.5 years, and in particular, watching the evolution of Mauricio Pochettino coming over and taking over this group. And let me start by saying I was 16 years old. I now have a 16-year-old that's going to witness the World Cup in the United States. I was 16 years old. I didn't have the money, and I couldn't afford the ticket growing up in Southern California and going to the Rose Bowl to watch Team USA. I was actually a volunteer at the LA Convention Center, and I just wanted to get my hands on the World Cup. These guys were my heroes. And thankfully, I get to work with guys like Tony Meola and John Harkes, et cetera. But to go from watching them on the field and thinking to myself as a teenager in Southern California, at some point, maybe I have the opportunity to go to the World Cup. I came up short. I was only basically an alternate, but I got to play in Major League Soccer. I got to play in the Rose Bowl. I got to go to Giant Stadium. I got to witness Alexi Lalas's fandom with the long hair and the goatee and be his roommate and sit in the bed next to him and watch him in a Powerade commercial and watch him in an Adidas commercial and listen to him speak Italian on the telephone, all because of his performance in the World Cup in 1994. So now being around this team, watching the young evolution of this group that was once termed the Golden Generation, and watching during the fall when they switched to this back three in the second half against South Korea and got results against Japan and Ecuador and Australia and Paraguay and Uruguay. And then you got into March and you're like, I don't know. And then last two games against Senegal and Germany, you see, I would say a competitive urgency is probably the best description I could give about this group, because they were combative. I think in the offensive phase of play, they were generating a ton of chances. And then ultimately, the mistakes that they made and the goals that they conceded were down to fine margins, which at this level is only going to ramp up with intensity. And ultimately, you know, the clash of success and failure is going to be these small little margins. So when I looked at this group and talking to Tyler Adams and Tim Weah and Mark McKenzie before the start of the game against Germany, you know, you could hear the youthful exuberance, but also kind of the chiseled experiences that they got in Qatar. And I'll tell you what, guys, they still have a bitter taste in their mouth for how they played versus the end result and losing in the quarterfinals against Netherlands in 2022.
Brian, you reminded me of the curly locks of one Alexi Lalas, which you saw front and center. Yes. And then the difference in the kits now from what you guys wore to a little more fit and svelte, you know, and of course, you're not wearing the cotton, you know, covers. It felt like they're much more dynamic here. That's where I kind of want to hit with you. And you mentioned Group D. I think all of us that look at it, at least for our audience, it would feel like a pretty big shock if the U.S. does not win the group. But I think the bare minimum expectation is not only qualifying for the knockout round, but what is a realistic expectation for advancement for them? Is it into the round of 16, the quarterfinals? Like I realize a lot of that depends on the draw and how the rest of the groups do play out. But realistically, what do we expect, and what could be a spot that you kind of could say, yeah, you know what? I could definitely see them getting to this point.
Yeah, and I think to your point, to your question, it's the most fascinating part of this conversation with the group stage, because the team that they just finished with their final warm-up against Germany, I mean, they go to Brazil, they win 2014 World Cup, and then they're grouped in 2018 and in 2022. So just because you've won or are projected to win, it doesn't mean anything in this silly World Cup format that we talk about, because we're talking about performance, we're talking about injury, we're talking about coaches' decisions, we're talking about yellow cards, we're talking about red cards. Now we talk about VAR intervention. And a quick little reminder for the listeners and the viewers out there, usually it's the start of July that IFAB institutes and puts into play all the new rules. Well, they're going to do that. I was on a call with Pierluigi Collina, which is the most iconic referee of all time. Just looking at him with a smile on his face still scares me because of his presence as a referee on the field. And he was talking about all these things from time substitutions to how long it takes for throw-ins to goalkeepers holding the ball that then leads to corners. So there's going to be all these little details. And the devil in the details, I think, is really going to separate a lot of these teams. To your original question, I think there's a blessing and a curse because U.S. soccer did such a great job of scheduling matches against Turkey and Switzerland heading into the Gold Cup. And then in the fall, they played against Australia and beat them in Denver. They played against Paraguay. And I don't know if you remember, but like the fisticuffs with Alex Freeman getting thrown to the ground and Poch tumbling, their coach tumbling. It was all right by the center camera. And I loved it. We joke around on the broadcast because I love the nuance in the game, the competitive atmosphere. We call it Dunsethery. And there's always like the manipulation of the opponent, the manipulation of the referee, because the margins are so thin. So when you talk about Paraguay, incredibly combative, I'm intrigued to see, do they sit or do they try to control the tempo of the game with the ball? Because that, I think that'll dictate a lot of the confidence. With Australia, they're already talking. They've been talking for like 2 weeks because they thought that they saw a couple clips of former American national team players that had disrespected what they're capable of doing. So you know it's going to be a kick fest right through the central heart of the midfield. And then ultimately with Turkey, they had to go down to the last minute to qualify. But with guys like Arda Güler, they're incredibly special in certain positions. So you have that fine line of how much do we know about them? How much are unknown with maybe some of the peripheral players that have been added? And then all of a sudden, the one thing I would remind people, it's not always the superstars. It's the guys kind of deeper on the bench that end up being the superheroes in a match, in a tournament like this, because the ones that aren't relied upon in the beginning usually become the most important near the end.
Enjoying our conversation here with Brian Dunseth, breaking down the World Cup beginning on Thursday. You're going to be in Mexico early for the action, then going to be going to Philadelphia here for the 4th of July. That's going to be a lot of fun here. When you're looking at the early rounds here, and I know that USA at 60-1 is a long shot to win the World Cup, even as the host country here. Are there any other realistic long shots that you might see in Mexico, you might see in Philadelphia, that you think could be longer shots on the board instead of the shorter shots like France, Spain, England, and say Brazil as single digit options?
Yeah, I'll go with the teams that I've seen up close and personal. I think Portugal can cause some serious problems in this World Cup. I think Belgium, even though we've talked about the golden generation and them, you know, the Kevin De Bruyne is kind of at the end of the cycles of his career, I still think have something really, really special. And I think it's those two teams. I would talk about the substitution patterns, because usually you have, I don't want to say a significant drop off because we're talking about World Cup status, but you are going to have a difference between the starters and the impact subs. But the impact subs for both teams that I saw against the United States down in Atlanta, that would, as a former center back, if I saw these guys, you know, jogging on the field, I'd be like, man, I thought I was going to get a break for a second. I thought I was going to be able to relax for a second. The other two teams, we saw Senegal. Now, in context, U.S. beat Senegal, but Senegal still was missing three players that were absolute starters as they were returning from Conference League, from Champions League, and some of the playoff football that they were dealing with domestically. And then Morocco. I mean, if you watched Morocco with the 17s, with the under 20s, with the Olympic team, and now with this full team. They went to the AFCON final against Senegal. I don't know how many people saw the images out there. It was wild, both on the field, off the field. Senegal wins, but yet Morocco's awarded the trophy in the 3-0 default win. And two teams that I don't think Morocco still has gotten the trophy because Senegal said, yeah, come take it off us. But those are the other two teams that I think are always going to be the ones that are going to surprise you. I think out of South America, everyone's going to talk about Argentina and Lionel Messi for obvious reasons. They're going to talk about, with now Carlo Ancelotti managing Brazil, what are they capable of doing? I still think they have a little bit of weakness in that defensive phase of play. But ultimately, I would keep an eye on a team like Uruguay. I think Uruguay out of South America is going to be incredibly combative. Tactically, they're going to have a ton of nuances. And then in moments that you think that they're done, all of a sudden they come and smack you in the face and they walk away with the result.
Brian, it's a fascinating conversation. Jensen and I really appreciate your time here joining us here on VSiN by the Books. Have a great call in Mexico. Safe travels. Can't wait to see you back in Philadelphia as well. Enjoy this World Cup run, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Great stuff. Talking to Brian Dunseth. Check him out again on Apple TV, TNT Sports, and check out his podcast, Week in the Tackle Pod. Jensen, of course, you've been watching here on FanDuel Sports Network, and you want more VSiN, you can get it on the VSiN Watch app, VSiN.com. We've got a numbers game with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidwin. They're coming up next.